We are on page 1084. Finish with the hidden brachis. Now we're going to the revealed stuff. Okay, let's start. Let's start Pasuk Aleph. Perchov Tes Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra Moshe, I'll call Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu called all the Jews. Vayemer Aleihem, and he said to them, as the Mefarshim explain, just like when Hashem gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, it says he called everybody to come. So the same thing when Moshe Rabbeinu is now repeating the last, right before he passes away, the last segment of Torah, he is explaining it in front of all the Jews. But it's because it's interesting, because why should he call Yisrael? Why should he call all the Jews for this? So it says, just like when the Torah was given, so now Moshe Rabbeinu's dying, so he's also calling all the Jews together. Atem re'isem, you yourself seen, eis kol ha'shos Hashem le'inechem b'eretz Mitzrayim, everything Hashem did for you in the land of Mitzrayim, this pasuk we learned last time, lefare u'lechol avodov, to party and to all his servants and to all his land, and the pasuk continues with just, amasis ha'gedeles, the tremendous, great trials, asheroi nacho, that your eyes have seen, the great signs and wonders that you have seen before. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, this is not something that you just heard from people. This is things that you yourself saw them with your own eyes. So there's no doubt about it. You know, when you hear something from somebody, you could either doubt it or not doubt it. Here, it's you yourself saw it. There's no question about it. Okay? Now, it says like this. Now, the Mefarshim explained it, just the interesting expression of the... It says, Amasis HaGadolis, the great things that Shado Einecha, that your eyes saw. So the commentators explain, what does it mean? For you, they looked big. But for God, they're not big. As it says, HaGadolis HaShado Einecha, to your eyes, they look like big miracles. But by Hashem, it's all nothing. Okay, this is a very important, interesting pasuk. Leinosin Hashem lochem, Hashem did not give you lev ladas, a heart to know, veinayim lirais, eyes to see, or oznayim lishmaya, ears to hear, eyes to see, oznayim lishmaya, ears to hear, adayim azen, till this day. Okay? So what happened is like this. You don't understand anything until today. So simply Rashi says, I heard from my teachers, that when Moshe Rabbeinu, like it says before, gave the Sefer Torah to his tribe, Bnei Levi, like it says before in the Chumash, all the Jews came coming to Hashem, to Moshe Rabbeinu, say, hey, it's not fair, why don't we get it? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, I'm impressed. You could have said, you know, keep it, you guys keep it, we don't have to keep it. The Jews came, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we also want the Torah, why are you only giving it to your own tribe? Right? So that's what Rashi says. Bol kol Yisrael lefnei Moshe, all the Yidden came before Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, we're also at Har Sinai, we also got the Torah, give us the Torah, why are you only giving it to your tribe? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, now you became a nation. Now you became a nation. Now you're okay. But there's a deeper meaning over here, and it's a halachic difference. In Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah says, you know, 5-year-old Chumash, 10-year-old Mishnah, 13-year-old Bar Mitzvah, 15-year-old Gemara, you know, the whole thing. And it says, Ben Arboim Labino. When you're 40, you start having bina, understanding. So the commentators explain on the Mishnah, where do we learn it out from? So from this, the Gemara learns it out from this pasuk.
40 years.
The Torah was given 40 years ago. Now the Jews are 40 years in the desert. It's the end of the 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass away. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, "Leinos and Hashem lochem lev ladas." He didn't give you the heart to understand and the eyes to see and the ears to hear until today. That means, when are you going to be totally understanding Torah? Today. 40 years. So that's the source of what the Mishnah says, ben arboim lebina. That when you're 40 years old, you have an understanding. But there's an interesting argument between Rashi and Tosis and the Gemara. What does it mean? Does it mean 40 years? In fact, the expression of the Gemara is, gosh, my brain doesn't work. He says,
need to take some Jensen.
Yeah, thank you. He says, claim in his shadaita the rabbi, a person doesn't understand the depth of his teacher's mind, ad arba'im shanim, until 40 years. So the question is, because l'cha'eda, this pasuk implies, the question is like this, is it 40 years when you're 40 years old, or 40 years from the time you heard it? In other words, when you hear something at 20, does it mean you won't understand it for 40 years until you're 60? Or does it mean, no, when you're 40 years old, that's you understand it. If you take this pasuk literally, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews that 40 years from Matan Torah until today, now you can understand it. Which means 40 years from the time you heard it, not 40 years old. So there's a whole argument in Rashi and Tosfos. Does it mean 40 years old, or does it mean 40 years from the time you heard it? But there is definitely a concept of understanding things much deeper at 40. And it says like this, when a teacher teaches something, he teaches it on the student's level, right, on the student's level, but he teaches it on their level, but in the simple level that he's teaching to the kids is the entire depth of his knowledge. Except the kids don't get it until they go into it for 40 years, then they begin to understand it. Okay? And this is what the pasuk is saying. L'nasar Hashem lachem lev l'das v'ayin l'irei zaznaim l'shmaya ada yem azem. Okay? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu says like this. Until now also, you know what, you were like, you never appreciated what we did for you. You never appreciated what we did for you. What Hashem did for you. Now finally, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now you understand that you're going to finally get it. Okay? Another thing the Mefarshim explained, that you tested God 10 times, and you didn't even realize all the miracles God did for you. That's basically a question. But most Mefarshim learn that it's a statement that for 40 years you understand the in-depth of the teacher's teachings. You go into the understanding of the depth. But again, Lev Ladas, he's speaking about 3 major components over here. The heart, the eyes, and the ears. Okay? What does this represent? The heart, Ladas, the eyes to see, and the ears to hear. It doesn't mean hearing, it means understanding. Like Shema Yisrael doesn't mean hear, it means understand. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It begins just like you have in the negativity. The heart and the eyes. So the Gemara says, Ha'ayin Roya V'alev Chomed. The eye see, the heart wants. What's out of sight is out of mind. So when you see something, so that's what you wanted. But in the deeper sense, there's called, like we said, learned before, the heart is the concept of das. What does das mean? Das means feeling it. By the way, it's interesting. Einayim liris is the level of chachma. I'll explain this in a second. Aznayim lishmaya is the level of bina. And lev la das is the level of das. Now, when you see something, when you look at something, You know, see, like we learned many times, seeing is believing. When you see something, nobody can disagree with me. Nobody could prove it differently because I saw it. But when you look at something, it's the initial sight that you look at it without going into the depth of it. When you see something, right, the first look is, it's like similar to the concept of chokhma. Chokhma is koachma, meaning it's an initial flash of an idea. That's similar to seeing. Bina is when you take it and you delve into it and you begin to understanding it, digesting it. That's, and the third thing is, which is das, is the level of feeling it. I can know something is wrong, but I'll still do it because I don't feel it's wrong. In order to understand, I can learn all about Shabbos, but I won't keep it because I don't feel it. Rashi says that in Chumash. Achrimes. We've said many times, it's Rashi. Beginning Achrimes. A doctor comes to a patient, Rashi says. Why does it say, Achrimes Shnei Bnei Aaron? After Aaron, still children died. Hashem tells Aaron, don't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim just randomly. She says, why? He gives a Moshe, Omer Abloz, Moshe L'Reifer. The doctor comes to a patient and says, don't eat this food, if you eat it, you'll die. He'll either eat it or not eat it. But if you had a close relative that died because they ate that food, and you tell them you're going to die like they died, then not only do you know it's wrong, then you actually feel it's wrong. That's the concept of lev l'das. Das means binding.
Proof.
No, das is feeling. When it says, in the classic example that all the Mefarshim give for this, is the Chumash says, V'ha'adam yoda es chava. He knew chava and he gave birth. That obviously means he connected to chava. So das is the concept of binding yourself, that you become one with it. I can know something, but me and it are wrong. Two separate things, not wrong. They're two separate things. I know it's wrong, but I'm not necessarily not going to do it. I might know it's wrong, but me and the, you know, it's...
We're human.
Like Aristotle, called doing an immoral act. He's, now I'm not Aristotle. In other words, what he knew of immorality and what he behaved in morality were two different worlds. Das is when you become one with it, so then you mamish feel it. And this is what Hashem is telling to the Jewish people. You need all three levels. You need a naim liris. You need to see it, because seeing is believing. When you see something, there's no way of doubting it. But it's not enough to stop at chokhma. You also need aznaim lishmoya, the level of bina, of understanding it. But the more important thing is lev ladas. You need to feel it. That's why we said many times, in davening, before Shema, or many places, or we say it in Damid also, we say, v'sein b'libeinu, bina lahavin o lahaskil. Right, in before Shema. Or we say, psach libi b'seira secha. Right? We should be saying, psach moichi machshavti b'seira secha. Right? You don't learn Torah with your heart. You learn Torah with your brain. What does it mean? V'sein b'libeinu, we're davening to Hashem, given our heart, bina lahavin o lahaskil. It's not in the heart. Bina's in the head. But we're saying to Hashem in Psach Libi B'Seir HaSecha means, I want you to open up my heart that I should feel the Torah. The same B'Libeinu Bina Lovin. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Eden today. Until today you finally have Lev Ladas, feeling, Einayim Lirais. Seeing is believing in the level of Chochmah, and Azayim Lishmaya Adayim Ezeh. Okay, this is what it takes 40 years until you really get it. Hashem says, now, look what I did to you. I took you in the desert for 40 years. Your garments did not wear out on you. Your shoe did not wear out from your foot. Okay. So they bring down an interesting thing. He asked him a question. Rabbi Lozar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, who says in the Medrash, that Rabbi Elazar the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai asked his father-in-law, whose name was Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Lekunya. He said, "What does this pasuk mean? That you know?" So he says like this, and he asked him a question like this: if the clouds, the pasuk says like this, Amud Eish Loila, right? So there was a cloud at night, the fire in the clouds was all hot. He said, how come they didn't burn? Why didn't they get burned from the Anon, the cloud which was fire? So he said, there's a material called Asitun, which is a material made from fire, so therefore it doesn't burn.
Asitun.
So it doesn't burn. Because something that comes in, like the Gemara says, Salamandria, there was a worm called Salamandria. It says,
stone.
No, that was the, no. That was the Shamir.
Like it rose.
The Gemara says like this, the end of Chagig, and the Gemara says, Peshi Yisrael, Mleya Mitzvahs Karimen. It says that the fire of Gehenna doesn't burn them. And he says, a Kavachemer from a Salamandria. Salamandria, one little bug comes in the fire, fire can't destroy it. So the whole person comes from fire of Hashem. How can it burn it? Okay? So, in other words, but the point is like this. Hashem made the miracle of the clouds. What did the clouds do? When the Jews had their clothing, at night, they were washed, pressed, and grew with the Jews. You grew? No department stores in those days. No tailing. The Medrash says that the Ananiya covered. At night, the Jews would put out their clothes, they washed them, pressed them, and grew with them. So he says, your clothes, your dresses, your clothes didn't rot, your shoes didn't wear out. It was a miracle. So the question is, so the Mefarshim asked an interesting question. The Jews were very wealthy. Yeah, they came out of Egypt with tons of gold and silver. Why did Hashem have to do this miracle? They could have gotten clothes, bought clothes. I mean, they did business in the Midbar. They, according to many, especially the Ramban, learns that in the Jews in the 40 years of the Midbar bought stuff from neighboring communities. They camped in the 40 years in the Midbar. They did business with people. So they said, why in the world did Hashem have to make a miracle? Okay? So he says, one answer is, Hashem wanted the Jews to learn about miracles, the amunah, the faith in God, that God does miracles for the person. And he says, it protected them. He says, what was the nest? Because it wasn't a miracle Hashem had to do. The fact was, the dust didn't ruin the clothing. Or in order to get the Torah, Hashem wanted them to be free from any problems. Meaning like this. There's a Gemara that says, "Leinitna haTorah ela laEichli haman." The Torah was only given to the people that ate the man. And like we learned, what was the sin of the spies? They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because in the Midbar everything was done for them. They didn't have to work; they were able to sit and learn Torah whole day. So, what was the concept of Hashem wanted the Jews in the desert not to be worried about anything? Not to know where the sales are, where the clothes are, which stores to go to, which neighbors to buy from, made in China, not in China, you know. They say in the beginning God created heaven and earth and everything else was made in China. So Hashem didn't want the Jews to be bothered with it. So he said, you know what, I'm making these miracles just for the Jews to be able to sit and learn Torah. Very nice. Which teaches a person, by the way, says in Sfarim, that when a person dedicates his life to Torah, God takes care of his livelihood.
Parnasa.
Okay, so Hashem says to them, listen, your clothes didn't spoil. Lechem le'achaltem, meaning regular bread you didn't eat. Obviously, they had the man. V'yayim v'sheichel le'shasisem, you didn't drink wine and beer. Leman teidu, that you should know. Why? That, Akiani Hashem Elokecha. By the way, the Mefarshim say Sheikhod in modern day Hebrew is beer. But when it says in the Chumash, Yayin v'sheicher al teisht, when the Kohenim were told, it means Yayin derech shikrus. Sheicher doesn't mean beer. In Chumash, sheicher means intoxicated, shikur. Like a shikur, a drunk. Yayin v'sheicher means don't drink wine in a way that you get drunk.
Doesn't that mean strong drink?
It means intoxicating drink. Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily, in biblical language, sheicher does not mean beer. It means intoxicating drink. So that's what it said. V'yayim v'sheicher. So what's Hashem saying? Why? L'man teidu yishino ki ani Hashem elokechem, that I am God your God.
So Hashem says you shouldn't get drunk? Only on tour.
Hashem does not want a person to be drunk.
Only on tour. So they cannot tell the difference.
Yeah, but even then Hashem doesn't want a person to be really drunk.
What about stoned?
Stoned? Yeah, that's okay. If you get stoned, it's good. But stoned, if people throw stones at you, yeah.
Real diamond stone.
No, but this is what it means, that Hashem did all these miracles for you.
This rabbi smelled the cannabis and he said it was kosher, no?
The what?
Some rabbi in Israel smelled cannabis and said it was kosher.
What's cannabis?
Marijuana.
But Tavayel Amokim,
I don't know the English Hebrew name of it.
But Tavayel Amokim Azeh, and I brought you to this place. And again, Hashem is showing the Jews all the miracles that happened to them. I brought you to this place. So first he says the miracles that happened to you in Mitzrayim. Then he says all the miracles, 40 years in the desert, you had the wine, the mon and the everything. Now I brought you here. The king of Cheshbon, and the two powerful kings, the most powerful kings, that all the nations of Eretz Yisrael hired to protect them from flooding the Jews into Israel. We took the land. I gave it as inheritance. Reuven and God. To half of the tribe of Menashe. Now here's an interesting thing. If you remember in Parshas Matis, okay, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu made this condition with Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. But half of Menashe really never was part of that deal. If you look in the Chumash in Matis, it says, Mikne Rav, Hoyel Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, they had a tremendous amount of cattle. Okay.
And they didn't want to eat it, so they got half the meat. Why didn't they kill their cattle?
No. One second. Here it says, Mikne Rav, Hoyel Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Only Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. And then they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they made this whole thing. Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at them, okay, he said, okay, then you're going to get it. But the whole time is only Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Where does half a tribe of Menashe come? And why from all the tribes did he give half a Menashe, not half a Yehuda, half a whatever? So the Mefarshim explained like this. Sichon and Eig was not originally part of biblical Eretz Yisrael. It's not one of the seven nations. Okay? When the Jews came, Moshe Rabbeinu made that. He annexed it for Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now, because why did he have Menashe? He said like this. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the land of Sichon and Og that he gave to Reuven and God are very big. It's big land, more than what two tribes deserve. So why should they get all that land, more than any other tribe gets? So he stuck another half a tribe with them to make it, fill it up a little bit. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, okay, if I'm making a Yardin, if the Yardin is going to be between these two tribes, so maybe there'll be a fight between the two and the ten. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a half a tribe here, and a half a tribe there, that automatically connect this side of the Yarden with that side of the Yarden because of the half a tribe. And he said, why did he pick Yosef to do it? Because the Nitzachon was dependent on Yosef, because it says, Beis Yosef Eish, or Beis Esav Lakash. Okay? So he said like this, because Yosef was this fire that would burn the straw of Esav, so he said, let me do half a Menashe, because they went willingly to fight, even though they were not part of the deal. Meaning like this. When B'nai got to B'nai Reuven said, we want the land, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're not going to go fight? So he said, no, we're going to go fight. Menashe was never part of that deal. Right? The conditional deal that Moshe Rabbeinu said with B'nai got to B'nai Reuven, if you go fight, I'm going to give you the land. If you don't go fight, you're not going to get the land. Menashe was never part of that deal. So technically, Menashe didn't even have to go fight. But they went anyway. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave half of Menashe to that side, that there should be a connection between this side of the Yarden and this side of the Yarden.
Everybody had to fight.
Well, no, but Menashe was going to stay on one side because they were going to raise their cattle.
Didn't they go and conquer the land?
They did.
Everybody went.
But B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, technically, without Moshe Rabbeinu's condition, would not have to go. Because they were given the land already.
Right.
So Menashe was not part of that condition that Moshe Rabbeinu made with B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven.
Right.
So therefore, they went on their own free will. Okay, then the Pasuk says like this. Ushmartem es divrei abris hazeis, the last Pasuk of this Parsha. Ushmartem es divrei abris hazeis, you have to watch the words of this covenant. Vasisim eisim, and to do them. Again, shmartim is negative mitzvahs. Vasisim is the positive mitzvahs. Lemanta skilu, that you should learn and to understand, or succeed. Eis kol asher tasin, everything you're going to do. Okay? So what does it mean? David HaMelech, it says, the Pasuk says, by David HaMelech, Vayhi David b'chol d'rav maskil. David HaMelech was successful in everything he did. V'Hashem imay. Okay? And Hashem was with him. What does it mean? Even though David HaMelech was a brilliant man, and everything he did was successful, but David HaMelech understood, it's only because Hashem imay. Because God was with him. And that's what the Pasuk says. You want to keep the covenant? L'man taskilu, that you should be successful in everything you do, is because when you keep the covenant of being with Hashem, you're with Hashem and you realize God is in your life, so then you're very successful. Okay, next parsha. Okay, 1086. You can make a party, no?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you make a banquet?
No, that's at the end of the Torah, you make a big banquet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we make a parsha party, you know. I don't know. Okay. Atem nitzavim ayem kulchem. This first pasuk you can speak a lot about. Okay. Basically, the last day of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu is gathering them together. He makes every Jew responsible one for another. Okay. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu in this next few psukim is going to enumerate every possible type of a Jew. Okay. Why? Because he's saying, God is, okay, let's see the pasuk first and then we'll elaborate. Atem nitzavim ayem kulchem. You are all standing today, all of you, lefnei Hashem alakechem, before God, your God. Rashaychem shivteichem, the heads of your tribes, zeknechem, your elders, sheitrechem, your officers, kolish, Yisrael, every Jew, tapchem, your kids, and the sheichem, your wives, gercha shebekerch machanecha, the convert who is in your midst, mechete veitzacha, from the choppers of the wood, the mesheiv mimecha, to the water carriers. Okay? Now, just simply, when the Jews heard all the curses of the previous Pasha, they got very nervous. They said, how are we going to live? So Shem says to them, don't worry. Atem nitzavim ayem, you're still here. You're still standing all before you. In fact, we know, in order to understand the whole pasuk in totality, we have to first introduce the concept that we've heard many, many times. You know, Shabbos Mevorchim, we bless the new month. Shabbos Mevorchim Tishrei,
we don't
bless the month. In Halacha it says, why not? Why don't you bless the new month in Tishrei? Satan. Because we don't want the Satan to know which day is Rosh Hashanah. Because when you can announce and show Rosh Hashanah is on Monday, right? So then the Satan will know Rosh Hashanah is Monday and will come to prosecute the Jews.
This is good answer?
That's what it says in Halacha.
One minute.
So the question obviously is, it says the same reason, why don't you blow Shofar out of Rosh Hashanah? To mix up the Satan, that he should think Rosh Hashanah passed already. That's what it says also in Halach. The question is, how dumb do you think the Satan is? First of all, he can look at a calendar. He doesn't need.
He's so smart, he's not dumb.
The Satan doesn't need to say, oh, they didn't blow Shofar, okay, Rosh Hashanah's over. I mean, obviously, his Satan's a malach, he knows what's going on. Or, it says, the Yom Ben Shredish Tishrei, that does, okay, so what's the explanation? Explanation is much deeper. So the Baal Shem Tov said that Shabbos Mevarchim Tishrei, Hashem blesses. And with the bracha that Hashem blesses Tishrei, we bless all the 11 months of the year. What is Hashem's bracha that He blesses? So the part the Gemara says, Nitzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes only Nitzavim, but Nitzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah. One reason is to separate from the curses of Kisavai to Rosh Hashanah. We want to make a break, so we have Parshas Nitzavim. And the Baal Shem Tov said, what does it mean, Atem Nitzavim? What's the bracha Hashem gives to the Jews? That Atem Nitzavim Ayim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. You're all standing together, unity, Achdus, in the presence of Hashem. Okay. So it says, you are Kulchem, you're all together. And then the Torah, when you look in the Chomer, Rashechem, Shivtechem, Teknechem, Sheitrechem, Tapchem, Nesheichem, Gencha, there's 10 levels of Jews that the Torah mentions. All the way from Rashechem, all the way down to Chetev Eitzach of Hashem Mimach, the water carrier, there's 10 levels over here that the Torah is enumerating. So from one side, we see that there are 10 distinct levels. Rashechem, Shevtechem, there's 10 levels. From the opposite side, the Torah says it's all Kulchem. Atem Yitzav Mayim Kulchem. You're all standing firmly today. So what does it mean? Is it Kulchem or is it different levels? Okay? So there's two aspects in a Jew. There's the aspect of a Jew that every Jew is the same. Everybody's equally Jewish. Atem Yitzav Mayim Kulchem. And then you have the various different levels of the person. Not only is this 10 various different levels of people, this is in one person itself, you have all these 10 levels. You have the head, all the way down to the lowest water carrier. And this is all the 10 categories of the Jew. In the human body, there are many, many different components, many different parts, but it's one body. It's one body with many, many different parts to it. Hashem's saying, what is the uniqueness of the Jew? There are 10 different levels. No two levels are the same, but Atem Nitzavim Hayim Kulchem. You're all standing together. When is Hayim? So simply the Pshat of Hayim means today when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jews, the last day of his life. But Hayim, the Medrash also says, Hayim the Dina Rabbah, it refers to the day of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why we read Atem Nitzavim Ayim on Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And this is the bracha that Hashem gives us on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. That Atem Nitzavim Ayim Kulchem, that the unity of the Jewish people, that you see Nitzavim. And by the way, Eindim is standing. Nitzavim in Lashon Kodesh, Nitzav Melech, means standing firmly. Nitzav is a stronger, in Lashon Kodesh, a stronger expression of standing than the word omdim is. Omid is also standing. Srafim, omdim, mimal, or whatever. So it says, Nitzavim is even stronger. So what's the concept of being Atem Nitzavim, Ayim Kulchem, the unity of the Jewish people that they're standing before Rosh Hashanah equal? That is the strongest thing. Now, Mefarshim say also, Atem is the same letters as the word emes. Atem is the word Aleph Tav Mem, Aleph Mem Tav, is Emes. With Emes, Nitzavim Ayim Kulchem. And this, the Mephoshim say a very profound concept. If you want to exist, it can only be with Emes. The Gemara, there's an expression in Gemara, Sheker Ein Loi Raglayim. Sheker has no feet. Sheker has no feet. Emes
is feet.
Is feet.
Three feet.
Three strong letters. And Sheker, the Kuf is one-legged, and the Reish is one-legged, and therefore the Gemara says an interesting thing. The Gemara says, if you ever want to lie, start off with a little bit of Emes. This is what the Gemara says in Shabbos. Because look at the letter Shin. Shin is a whole base. Right? It has a strong standing. Kuf is one leg, because one leg goes down, and Reish is one leg. In order to make Sheker sound a little bit Emes, start off with a little bit of truth, the Shin, and then you have the Kuf and Reish.
And that means you lost.
That means when you're Sheker, Ein Lo Raglayim, you can't be standing firmly today before Hashem.
What does Sheker mean?
Lying. Falseness. Oh. Falsehood. Only with Emes is a person, Nitzav Mayim Kochen, can a person stand firmly. In the Zayar it says, that when Hashem wanted to create the world, it's alluded to in the Gemara a little bit too, that all the letters of the Aleph Beis came before Hashem and said, start the Torah with me. But the Zayar goes, it started from the backwards, from Tav. Okay? So it came to the letters Reish and Kuf. Hashem said, you're no good. Because you're part of the word of Sheker. So then it came Shin. Hashem said, Shin is also no good because Shin is part of Sheker. It's no good. Until he came to Beis, which is Brocha, versus Aleph, which is Arur. So Hashem picked the letter Beis to start the Torah.
Aleph was upset though.
Aleph says, Hashem said, I'll give you by the Ten Commandments, and Necha Hashem Elokecha. Now, Emes, if you look at the word Emes, unlike Sheker, that has only one legs, Aleph is two legs, Mem is a whole base, and Saf is two legs. Okay? In addition to that, it says in Yerushalmi, we've mentioned this many times, Aleph, Mem, Saf. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph base. Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph base. But you count the middle. And Saf is the last letter of the Aleph base. So what's the definition of Emes? From the beginning, through the middle, all the way to the end. We find this also, and this was the uniqueness of Yaakov, Titein Emes LeYaakov. We see in Avodat Zion. Titein Emes LeYaakov, it's a pasuk. Titein Emes LeYaakov Chesed LaAvram, Asher Nishbat Avsin Mekedem. Because we learned the boards in the Mishkan, right, the boards. So they had hooks on the outside, top and bottom, and the poles went through to hold up the walls. But this wall was held up, and this wall was held up, and this wall was held up, but what held 1 to 2 to 3?
It was bent.
Yeah, but which one bent? The middle one, the middle Briach HaTichin, Mavriach Besech HaKroshim, Mina Kotza Lo Kotza. It wasn't on the side. The other ones were hooks on the side. The Briach HaTichin was a hole in the middle. It went through the poles in the middle. It went through the middle of the poles. When it came to the end of the wall, it bent to the next one, and then again to the next one. According to many opinions, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's mate that he used, which was originally from Yaakov Avinu, that he was planted in Yisrael's garden, and Meshe Rabbeinu got it, the whole story with the staff of Meshe Rabbeinu. So that's the Briach HaTichin, which is Mavriach Min HaKotza LaKotza. What is the definition of truth? And this is Nitzavim Mayim Kuchim, can only be without the Emes, because what's the definition of truth? It's not sometimes true, once in a while true. If it's true, it's true from the beginning, through the middle, all the way to the end. In addition to that, we learned, as brought down in Sfarim, that MS equals 441. Aleph Mem Sof equals 441. 4, 4, and 1 equals 9. Correct? 9. In math, we learned this many times, the only real number is 9. Why is the real number 9? Because any multiple of 9 equals 9. 9 times 2 is 18. 1 and 8 is 9. 3 times 9, 27. 2 and 7 is 9. 36, 45, 54, 63, 72, any...
Oh, you know your math so good.
I'm educated. I mean, it's pretty brilliant that I know that 3 times 9, or 4 times 9, or 5 times 9. Okay. So what does that show? That 9... Like there's an expression of the Ralbag says in Nach, Ha'emes maskim la'atzmo mikol tzad. Emes agrees to itself, meaning Emes, any way you turn it, it is what it is. It's Emes.
If you take Aleph away, then you get Mes.
Correct. If you take God away from Emes, then you get Mes, dead. Correct. It's brought down in Sfarim dead also. Okay, so the Pasuk saying, if you want to be standing firmly today, it's only with Emes. Which means as follows. If you start bending your Yiddishkeit, you're not going to be existing. You bend what the Torah says, let's say in Israel, you won't be existing. The only way you need Tzavim Ayim Kulchem, the only way a person stands firmly, is only with Emes. Atem need Tzavim Ayim Kulchem. Okay, now, another thing, the support and another mepharshim say, what does it mean? Atem nitzavim yem kuchel mafnei Hashem alakechem, which means you can't fool God. He said, you're standing before God today. Don't think you can fool Him. You can't fool Him.
Why would you want that? This is ridiculous. What kind of comment is that? That you're fooling God.
Do you know how many people think they're fooling God? Anytime you do something wrong, you think you're fooling God. You think God didn't see it? It was somewhere else. What do you mean, what?
It's right here.
Okay. If you picture God, you would never, ever, ever sin.
No one sin.
Okay. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, another thing he said like this. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu divide the 10 categories? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, every Jew, no matter who you are, is responsible for another Jew. You can't think, how can I influence a greater person than me? So the Torah says, no. If you're a water carrier, then affect the water carrier. If you're a wood chopper, affect the wood chopper. Whoever you are, you can have friends, classmates, whatever it is, you're able to have an influence upon them.
What if they fight back?
Truth, people don't fight truth.
But they're not educated.
The Gemara has an expression, Nikodim Divrei Emes. You know what the Gemara says by Shimshon? Shimshon and Delilah, you know, Delilah, and the Chumash is called Delilah. Samson and Delilah in the movie. Whatever, finally she said to him, remember she tried getting, how do you have that strength? And he started making her crazy. And she didn't accept any of it. Finally, he said to her, Nazir al-Kimani, I'm a Nazir of Hashem, and that's my strength. So then she understood that that was the true one, the Pasuk says. Why did she know it was true? So the Gemara says two things in Saita. One is that he wouldn't mention Hashem's name in vain. He said, Nazir al-Kimani. And then the Gemara says another profound statement, Nikarin Divrei Emes. When people say truth, you realize it's true. It's recognizable that it's truth. So this is what the concept of the truth, the Torah says, you're standing all before Hashem today. Now, who were these water carriers and wood choppers?
Yeah.
So Rashi says in the Medrash that there were the Givanim. They came in the days of Moshe, and in the days of Yeshua. The Givanim was one of the seven people from one of the seven nations in Canaan. They knew they were going to get killed. So what did they do?
Surrender.
They came first to the days of Moshe, dressed up like people coming from a very far out land. And they asked to convert. Moshe Rabbeinu, I know you want to use the word fooled by them, but the bottom line is Moshe Rabbeinu accepted them. He didn't know they were from the seven nations of Canaan. But when he found out who they were, so he made them the wood choppers and the water carriers. He said, you want to be Jews? Okay. We shouldn't be accepting you. We should kill you because you're from the seven nations of Canaan, but we accepted them. Okay. Now what's the purpose of all this? Your kids, okay, now the Mefarshim ask another question here. Why does it say Tapchem and Neshechem? Tapchem are kids under Bar Bas Mitzvah. Okay? They're not obligated in every covenant or anything. So it says, number one, Hashem wanted everybody to be part of this great nation, even the little kids. Or, the Sephorna says, he wanted the elders to be responsible for the kids. So who's the responsibility of the kids? Tapchem is the elders are responsible for the kids. Rasheichem Shiftei Ziknechem, they are responsible for the kids. Because the kids cannot do it on their own, so they're... Okay. What was the purpose of all this? La'avrecha, to make you pass through that you should pass through the covenant of Hashem and onto his oath, that what God is making with you a covenant today. Okay? So what is it saying? The Yidden were going from leader to leader. The Jews were going from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're now going to Yeshua, right? So Hashem, to give him a little pep talk. We find this, Rashi brings down, when they went from Shaul to Shmuel, you know, the Jews, whenever they were going from leader to leader, they would get depressed or whatever, they would give him a pep talk and say, Atem Nitzavim Kochem, as much as you got angry, you're still here, don't worry about it, God still loves you. You're going to be fine. And just go to from person to from leader to leader, move on.
Didn't Yeshua get his youth from Sarai? And the youth from Sarai went to Yeshua because it was actually Yeshua?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this? You got the youth from Sarai, according to one opinion. Okay, but what's the purpose of standing... Now, what's a covenant? A covenant itself is a very unique thing. When friends are friends, you don't need to make a covenant. They're friends. David and Yonason made a bris, a covenant between them, right? Like it says in the Haftarah of Mocha Chodesh. They made this covenant between them. What's the purpose of a bris between people? Because when it's logical to be friends, you don't need the bris. When things get difficult, and now that things get rough and tough and if, so the bris is a covenant higher than seichel, which means even when seichel intellect dictates it shouldn't be unity, the bris, the covenant, makes it happen regardless because it's above seichel. It's a bond above seichel. By the way, that's what in the English is called the covenant of marriage. Huh? It's not a contract. Contract is a piece of paper.
Bond.
It's a bond, a covenant. A marriage covenant means that even when things aren't going too good, you still stick it out together. That's the concept of a bris of marriage. What happens when a child goes to a bris 8 days old? Again, it's the same concept. Eight is a supernatural number, above seven. What is the concept of a bris milah? The relationship between a Jew and Hashem is above logic. Another thing, Michal Mefarshim say, not here, but Bris is Tafresh Yud Beis. Bris is Tafresh Yud Beis, which is plus the word itself, in theory of the word itself as part of a numerical value, equals 613. The word Bris is 612, plus the word itself equals 6, in Makayla it's called, with the word itself equals 613, that the 613 mitzvahs is the covenant that Hashem has with the Jewish people. And it could be, what it means is, the first mitzvah, Necha Hashem Alekecha, it's a whole argument, by the way, in the Rishonim, it's an interesting argument in the Rishonim, who count the mitzvahs. You know, we know one thing. Torah says there's 613 mitzvahs. But we don't know exactly which are the 613. The Ramban, Rambam, Chinuch, Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, Ramban. Everybody has a different number of the 613. There are many arguments which mitzvahs are part of the 613. There's a big argument if the commandment, I am God, your God, is a mitzvah or not. What's the question? When you say the word mitzvah, by definition you're saying there's a commander that's telling me to do the mitzvah. You say there's a mitzvah, that means there's somebody telling me to do the mitzvah. But how can you have a mitzvah that somebody is telling me to do the mitzvah? What's a Necha Hashem Elokecha? There's a mitzvah that I'm God, your God. But how could that be a mitzvah? Because mitzvah already means there's a commander. How could you say the mitzvah that there's a commander is to believe there's a commander?
It's a statement. It's like a statement.
Then it's not a mitzvah.
It's belief. Believing is
so many Rishonim that hold it is a mitzvah, and it is counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs, is not only to believe, it means that this God that's commanding you to do the mitzvah is the only thing that exists. It's called Achdus Hashem, that only God exists. So the mitzvah is not to believe that there is a God. The mitzvah is to believe that this God is way above. So therefore you can have Bris is 612, plus Hashem, which is giving us the Bris, which is the 613th mitzvah, of making this covenant with Hashem, which means, by the way, that the relationship between Hashem and the Jew is not logical, it's not emotional, it's essential. Essential bond between Hashem and the Jews. That's what it means. And this is what Hashem wants. Because what does that gain? When you understand that the relationship between Hashem and the bond, first of all, you know that you're never out. You're always in. But secondly, all these 10 levels are really one level. Because the Shev Memecha, the water carrier, is not any less Jewish than Moshe Rabbeinu. So there has to be 10 levels, which is the 10 spheres of the person, the 10 Eser Keichos HaNefesh, the 10, but they all have to know that they're all equally important in the covenant of Hashem. And this covenant with Hashem, by the way, is the reason why Atem Nitzavim Ayim Kulchem. Why are we all together? Because of this covenant. And he's making it with you, Hayim, today. What does it mean, today?
Every day.
Every day there is this covenant with Hashem and the Jewish people. No matter what happens. Okay. He says like this, the man hakim ayim leilam. What is the purpose of all this? To establish you today as his people. Vuhu yalochal alekim, and he will be your God. Kashadib eloch, like he spoke to you. V'chashen nishpa lavisecha, and the way he swore to your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, that no matter what, there will be my nation. And no matter what, I will be their God. As there's an expression in Chazal, and now it became even a song, Benkach, Ubenkach, Banayim. whether the Jews behave,
not behave,
benga, benga, banayim, just to my children. But that's the whole purpose. Huh?
So why do we put such emphasis on punishment? If that is the final thing, whether they behave or not, they're still my children.
In Hasidic philosophy, the emphasis is never put on punishment.
What?
The emphasis in Yiddishkeit is not put in on punishment.
Correct.
Never is. Correct. So what do you say? What was your question?
No, I just thought the curse.
The curses are hidden brachas.
Yeah.
What?
The real love with somebody means without expectation. Yeah?
Without expectation and unconditional.
God,
that's by the way, the bris is unconditional. That's so what the bris accomplishes.
We do for the Hashem. Hashem also, why he love us? Was it give it some pain or something?
Let me ask you a question. Why should God love us?
Without condition.
What does he get from us besides problems?
We are his kids.
Oh, so what does that mean, we're his kids? What does it mean? Teich.
Teich.
Teich means translate. Define. Huh? Explain. What does it mean, we're his kids?
He's our father.
What does that mean?
He'll never stop loving us.
No.
What do you mean he's our father? He's our father.
Yeah.
He gave birth to us. What do you mean?
He gave us our breath. He gave us our life.
What does it mean when we say Ata Avinu Anu Benecha? Yeah, it doesn't mean physically. Banim Atam Hashem Lekeichu doesn't mean. It means this concept of Love Vecha Bevris. The child and the parent relationship is not connected to anything. It's a essential bond.
Without cost.
It's not seichel. It's not midas. There's nothing. The bond between a parent and a child is an atzmiistic bond, okay, a connection. When we say we're Hashem's children and He's our Father means Hashem loves us unconditionally. The relationship between us and Hashem is not logical. It's not rational. It's an essential bond between a father and a child. Tachas avisecha yil banecha. The child is a father. A father is a child.
Two-way street or one-way street?
Two-way street. That's what it says. Who, l'man, ayem lo'y la'am, v'hu yelucha l'lekim. Hashem says, you're my nation, and I'm your God. Whether you like it or not. And that's the purpose of the bris. The bris means, even though Seichel says, no, it doesn't make sense, God did this to me, God did that to me, or this one, that's not the bris. The bris is an essential bond of connection between a father and a child, which is a type of a bris, a covenant. Covenant means not logical. That's the definition of the word bris.
But you're excluding women from
here. No, it doesn't mean women. God.
After the bris, you have a... some guarantee.
By the way, the Gemara says, Nashim command the Malyadami. The Gemara Nave Dezara says, Nashim command the Malyadami, women are considered circumcised, which means the uniqueness of a bris women have without having to do the actual bris.
That's why in redemption women are going to be at a higher level.
Yes, for sure women are higher level.
Yeah.
Yeah.